Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Some person came to Talabot and he offered a musalla as a gift. Mulana, because of the experience that he had with people, he wouldn't just readily accept a gift. Just now they'll offer a gift, then they'll make requests, get this done for me. I need to make a proposal for such and such a person. Can't you help me out in that regards? So Mawlana was quite experienced on all these things here. And then just to go and make a proposal for anybody at any time, that also is not right. I don't know the person. All I know him for is that he's given me a gift. And because of this gift, I must make a proposal. That person that I'm going to make the proposal to, he has a lot of trust and confidence. Whatever I say, he'll accept. Meanwhile, this person may not be right. That person will get landed with the problem. So, because of these complications, Mawlana will not just readily accept a gift from all and sundry. There must be some procedure, know the person, understand him, some background. Had a wide experience, very wide experience. One person used to offer gifts. And because this person was quite close to Hazrat's father. And we are also commanded that people that are close to our parents, then show them respect. So because of the family tradition, he used to accept the gifts. Now, happened that there was the need to wind the estate. So this person came to Thanabon that this estate needs to be winded. So I worked it out, okay, this is the proportions, so many sons, so many daughters, and so many other relatives, so this is the proportion that they will get. So this person was very upset. Said, I've been giving you gifts for all these years, and today I have a need, and you didn't favor me. So Mawlana was deeply upset at this. He said, had you been giving me gifts, that today I must cheat and give you more than what you deserve? So what else? So he saw these people, and when he saw, so he made some guidelines. Certain gifts he'll accept, certain he won't accept. Why he doesn't accept, that he knows. Like I just explained now. Otherwise, I'll become too kind towards you, and then how you have it, you rob one to pay the other. So this will end up in this way. So anyway, Mawlana did not accept the gift. Because of Mawlana rejecting the gift, so that person began to cry bitterly. Old Khankar conceit. Hundreds of people are sitting there, and this person is crying away, uncontrollably, can't, just shrieking away. Mawlana is trying to calm him, but he won't. Right from about 11 o'clock till about 2 o'clock, he is crying. 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Normally, Zohar Namaz that side in the summers is about half past 2. So about 3.5 hours, continuously, he is crying away. Mawlana is calming him up, but no. Then after Zohar, Mawlana asked him, he called him, what's your problem? So he says, you the Kutub of the time, you the Ghaus of the time. So you will definitely know what's in my mind. I don't have to explain that to you. So Mawlana says, all these titles, whether they are right or not right, it's a different thing. But nobody can say certainly that this is in his heart, and that's in his heart, and that's in his heart. Can't say that. Sometimes Allah Pak may just make it visible, right? Sometimes. But at any given time, to say that this person has got this in his heart, and this person got that in his heart, that person got that in his heart, that's the work of Allah Ta'ala. Right? Sometimes with signs and symptoms, you can make out the problem, right? Even a doctor can make out from the signs and symptoms okay, this person has got this problem, he's got this problem, that problem. You can make out from the face, sees all right, he opens the eyes, sees the yellowness or redness, and then he'll diagnose, okay, this person perhaps got this problem. So sometimes, through science, you can make out what's the condition of the person. But this is not a foregone conclusion that you see the person and exactly you know his problem, you know what's in his heart. That's not a conclusion, but conclusive. So then I asked him again, but can you tell me what's your problem? He said, no, I won't tell you. He's still crying. He's still crying and he says, I won't tell you. So anyway, Mawala asked for some water. While reading that water, he said, I drink this. So he drank that water. Now he gained some composure, somewhat he gained. When he got that composure, then Mawala asked him again, now what, but tell me what's your story. Exactly what, tell me what happened. He says, no, I was inspired, or I had ilham, to come and give this musalla to you. India, they call it Jai Namaz. Here we say Musalla. Right? So the actual Arabic word for Musalla is Eidgah. You know, Eidgah, where Eid Namaz, they call that Musalla. So we got Musallas everywhere, all over the show. So he says to Mawala, you know what, this is the story. I had that inspiration, this ilham I had, that I must buy a Musalla and give it to you. And now you blankly refused. So I must be rejected, you know. For my gift not being accepted, I must be very badly rejected. So Mawla says, see, an ilham, you've got an inspiration. That inspiration is not an argument. It's not a shari'i argument. It's not a proof. No. The proofs are the Quran and the Hadith. And this experience that you have, an inspiration, how good it may be, but it's not an argument. And let's say if it is an argument also, then it's an argument, it's a proof only for the person who had the experience. Now, you are a separate entity, I am a separate entity. It may be a proof for you, but your proof you can't force over me, because I may have another ilham. You may have one ilham, right? And I may have another ilham. My ilham maybe is telling me, don't accept it. And your ilham is telling you, give the gift. So now, you purchasing the gift and offering it to me, now you have completed your ilham, finish. But the ilham didn't say, force the gift over me. So you be rest assured that your ilham is complete. End of the story. So that whole thing is squared and settled. Then Mawla went on to explain, you see, that you are a freelancer. Like we have in this day and time, in Tasawwuf, we have too many freelancers. Let's press this button here, this one here, this may just come right. So, there's too much of freelancing carrying on. And we think in our minds, hey, this one here, I'll press this button here. Mera sab kaam ban jayega. Everything will just work out. Strangely, just last night someone was saying, or the night before, that this is a tafsir of the Quran Sharif. What is the tafsir? This is one person, his daughter had some marital problem. So they referred the problem to one Sheikh, you see. So the Sheikh said, all right, if there's a problem, then call it off now. The problem is going for some time now. You can't seem to be settling your problems, so call it off now. So he says, no, it's a question of our izzat and our reputation. You know, daughter now, she's returned, and she's a single parent, and it's going to be a whole question of her reputation. So the Sheikh now suggests to that best person, perhaps they're from Syria somewhere, so he suggests to this person, what you do, you go for Umrah and whilst you're in tawaf, make dua. So anyway, they did according to how they were commanded, that in tawaf, and he's making dua. So while he's making dua, he hears some message on his phone. You know, you get a message coming through. So he saw some message coming through. So he went to his hotel room, seen what happened. So his daughter was calling. She said, "Kya hua? Ab to mar gaya. Maybe there's a divorce now already." So strangely, it turned out that the daughter called, and she said, "No, no, husband is very remorseful. He's crying. He said, you'll never find any problem in me in future." So now he's explaining this as the tafsir of the ayat, "Idha sa'alaka ibadi anni, fa inni qareeb ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'an." I do listen to the du'as of the person that asks. So I said, you can't give it as a tafsir. You can't give this story as a tafsir. No. It happened for one person, it happened. Maybe that Sheikh had that feeling, that kash or something, that if they do this, inshallah, the dua will be answered. One person, I won't take his name now, he's late. See, there's freelancing here. Yeah. So my du'as are all answered, all. Very, very proudly and confidently, confidence, you see. My du'as are all answered. At that time that Russia-Afghan war was carrying on, you know. So he's telling me with a lot of confidence. And so now, just to put him onto the trial, say, all right, make du'a the 2 days, this thing stops. You see, this type of freelancing is dangerous. After that, he never made a claim. That was the first, that was the last time, and he never made a claim again. Because otherwise, now, people are beginning to believe in him. Oh, yeah, this person is having this type of inspiration, and gosh, saying this and saying this. So they began to believe in him. So when I put him onto the spot, I said, all right, make dua that today, this Afghani is done, and Russia war must just end up, khalas, end the story. But that was Pelilendava. The whole story ended up there. So you see this freelancing, a dangerous thing, very, very dangerous thing. Well, I went to explain it after. See, when you cool off now, he got some composure. So I said, here, let me teach you some things. You see, this path is a very, very sensitive and a very delicate path. A lot of people were doing like what you did, and they went totally off. Someone went mad, and someone went off. You know, he's going with his inspiration, he's doing his own tasbih, zikr, or whatever his mind is telling him, and he's just going with that. Right? And then eventually he gets mad, insane. So something came in his mind. Now, he is convinced that what I've seen, what I've experienced, is divine. When he's convinced that it's divine, then he's doing it. Right? And he may be doing something more than what he can manage. Right? For example, some inspiration came, now you must stay awake the whole night. So for 6 months he stayed away. And then after that, he had a mental problem, weakness now, not enough sleep, he can't concentrate on his work. He went by this inspiration. Now what happened? Mental problem. Now in the mental problem, see, sometimes you begin to see some things, you know, hallucinate. Like how I see this evolutionist, to me, they are now at this level, they're hallucinating, see. So that hallucinating is a mental problem. But now these hallucinations, they feel convinced that it is like that. So it is a hallucination, it is a mental problem, a mental weakness. But now in that weakness, it requires a person to believe in what you imagine. So they also believe in what they imagine. Now, this person got a mental problem. In that mental problem, he's seeing things. You see, now I'm already at a different level. I'm seeing this. I'm seeing this. At times, I predict some things and the predictions come true. So Gangui Sahib told that person, "Bhai, you don't take care of yourself. Ek din tum barihna ho karke nange phiroge. You don't take care of yourself, you will move around naked. Just stop all these things here. It's a mental problem. So now you're jealous of me because I am reached such a position now. So you feeling jealous over me, therefore you ask me to stop." Not even 1 month passed, the person took off his clothes, running around everywhere, naked. See? So this is a sensitive thing. It's a very delicate thing. Don't do your own thing. Sometimes you're doing your own thing, sometimes you're doing half your own, half the Sheikh's thing, and then you feel that, no, I am on the right. This path here requires a lot of discipline. You discipline. Listen, what's being told to you, listen. Now, sometimes you get, in this path, you'll get people that are, like, you know, in everything you get a genuine, and you get an imitation. It's everything you get. So here also you get that. Don't you get this sangomas and all that, right? So lot of it, I think most of it is all imitation. A little bit is true. So they will just do. But now the people have that faith in them. And because of the faith, whatever junk is given to them, they will take it. That's that faith, see. So the same thing here prevails everywhere. Imitation and genuine. Imitation and genuine. So you can't just jump to someone, and you can't be freelancing, just jumping onto someone without thinking, understanding, or freelancing. Both are dangerous. One place they had it that someone wants to come for bayat and all that. So how they initiate the person. So they got some mujahid. They'll have it near a popular Kabristan. You know, you got Ajmer or something. So these people will have their centers near there. Because that place already popular, people already have it, that respect. When they have that respect, then people that are coming across, they feel that the person of the grave has blessed him. So he's a blessed soul, so he must go to him, you see. So they plan it very well. So now they're coming in to be initiated. So the whole procedure before you get initiated. So one person will take his order. You want to be initiated? All right. Just the order, right? Very good. So they'll bring you to another person there, a mujawir. And then mujawir will tell you, all right, make sajda to me. If the person conforms, he agrees, then he's taken to a higher level. And when he's taken to a higher level, this higher level is asking him, mardood ke maqbool, is he accepted or rejected? So this person will say, that's accompanying him, if he made sajda, that's even maqbool, no, he's accepted. So he's taken to one level. And if he refused to make sajda, I say, no, mardood, it's all right. Unfortunately, you don't have a share in our treasure. You don't have any share, you can carry on. Now this person that made the sajda, they will take him. When they will take him, now through some art of mesmerism, right, they will show him some lights. First, a light will appear like a moon, right? Light. That's now you mesmerize the person to imagine that you're seeing the light of the moon. And he will see it, really he will see it. He's mesmerized. In his mesmerism, hypnotism, he's seeing it. When he sees it, so he says, this is the noor of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hey, now he says, where I started from, audience, I'm there already. I'm such a maqam, such a position. Then when he's behaving and he's conforming, he's respecting, and he's seeing the mujawir is right, you know, zamana hai, see rights ka zamana. So he's seen them, right? Then they promote him further. Now they show him the light of the sun. Appears on Noor-e Haq. This is the Noor-e Haq Aqsa. This is the light of Allah Ta'ala. From where? I started here and see where I've escalated. People don't know me. They don't know who I am. Mr. Poncha Hua. See now, the strictness that you have in this thing here. So, this thing is abundant. You may think this only happens in India, but it happens here as well. It happens here also. And you need to understand, you can't be freelancing, and you can't just go to anybody and everybody. Now here it happens. I won't mention the place, but it happens. I know about it. I'm quite confident about it, right? That you get initiated, then you get initiated, your wife get initiated. Then after that, from that point, you are one family. When you're one family, you can talk, you can do what he wants with your wife, your daughters. They can do whatever they want. Absolutely. Because they're one family. He's a father now. Like a father figure. He's the father figure, so he's got love and compassion. So they, he's one family. He will carry on. See, it's happening here. So this is not about freelancing. And this is not about just taking anybody on. You saw something supernatural, something strange, and then you just held on to that person, and then after that, you got problems. Smingo Beach used to happen, same thing. I won't mention now, but I know about it. It used to happen when I was here, 1980s. Some people used to come, and young girls, 17, 18, nice-looking girls, and they would massage him right up to the thigh, right up to wherever, and they massage him. Late at night, and someone is sitting on his thigh, what was happening, Allah Pak knows after that. Then his barka, his tabaruk used to be, will have a big box of cigarettes. So he'll take one, two pulls, and that's barka now, everybody. So all this drama happened in Spingo, I know about it. I know about it. This thing still happens. Don't think that this is like a something of the past. It happened right in front of us. Right. So it's not about freelancing and not jumping onto anybody. And they can show you a lot of things. Don't get yourself wrong. They can show you. But this type of stories, even kuffar can show you. Mesmerize and hypnotize. And they can make you imagine. They can make you see things. So you don't get caught into these things. In the past, in India, See when you're not following procedure, then you're going to jump to any person and anything. Follow procedure, then you don't go off. But don't follow procedure, then jump to anybody and anything. So it's a very, very wealthy person. A lot of times, the culprits for this is the wealthy. And I assume why they become the culprits. Now, they had a little bit of dini awareness now, we need to come right. But now, the whole procedure is a difficult one. This is a shortcut one. We need to get things right on that side. But if you're going to go with him, then he'll tell you all the past qaza namaz, go and read it. The rozas that you missed out, go and keep all the rozas. As it is presently, I don't keep any rozas. Now all the qazada must keep for all the past years. Hey, that's a heavy one. All the zakat I give. Now they're holding on to billions. What? I must pay all the zakat. Hey, heavy on that. Is there a shortcut, Shortcut, mera kaam ban jayega. So they go to this fly-by-night, Someone told me, no, there's too many fly-by-night. See how many flights, Dubai, all going by night, fly-by-night. So you get these two, this extremism you get. So this wealthy person got connected to one of this type of person. It happened now. It's real. I can't give you all the evidence, right? But he got caught up with one of these persons. He on his own, he's a billionaire. So wealthy. So he traveled all the way, came to this town, somewhere in Calcutta. In Calcutta, in the center, he had all his clients because he was doing so much of business. So he had his clients. The clients are also big people. So he went to speak to one of his clients, you know, I need to go and meet this person here in this town here. So, hey, it's a bara daku hai bhai. He's a big thief, this person here, man. If you want, in 20 minutes, I'll summon him here. That's my influence. I'll summon him here in 20 minutes. Hey, you know, he's Hazrat. Hazrat, you have to show the respect. You can't show any disrespect. But I'm telling you, he's a daku, first class. He's a dacoit. He's a robber. He's a thief. I'm telling you about it. Hey, no, man, Hazrat, man, you mustn't say these things. How can you say such a thing? You know what happened to you? Anyway, now, what can you do to such a person? So anyway, he gave him a guide. So to the guide, I take him to that person. So they kept him, they gave him all the good food, all that for two weeks that he was there. Now, he knows that this man is loaded. That person there knows he's loaded. So, as they return, so we'll accompany you to the railway station and then you can board and carry on to your flight, whatever. So, he's taking an unusual road. So this guest is saying, but this is not the normal road. So no, we're showing a shortcut. They took him into some jungle and they, I said, right, now, hands up, we're shooting you. Like, please, for Allah's sake, take everything that you want, but just spare my life, Allah. We can't do anything, but we have to take your life. We have to take your life. He's pleading to them, but they will not listen to anything. Eventually, they killed him. They found a small abandoned well or something, and they just dumped his body there. Gone, finished. End of the story. Some weeks later, one shepherd was grazing his goats outside, so he got some stench, foul smell. Look inside, hey, there's a body. So he notified the cops. When he notified the police, police pulled out the body. Now, what the police need is small evidence, small little thing. And they can trace it, one thing to the other, and they will trace the whole evidence. Even if it's just a small stain of blood, they know how they're trained to track the whole thing. So they tracked it and they found some piece of paper showing, alluding to this sheikh here, fly by night. They got the person, and he was hanged after that. But you see this fly by night, quick fix solutions, freelancing. Right? Freelancing, so we want to do what we want, or just take anybody and take a shortcut and go across. And then afterward, eventually, then we are sitting in problems. So, in the order that we follow, our mashayikh follow, there's a lot of adherence to the sunnah. A lot of respect to the sunnah. So much adherence to the sunnah. Mawla Abdul Haysab Laknavi rahmatullahi alayhi. This one is Mawla Abdul Haysab al-Muhaddis, and one was before him, Mawla Abdul Haysab, he's also from Lucknow. He was Sayyid Sahib's murid, Khalifa and murid. So, Sayyid Sahib had told him that if you find any weakness in me, then you must notify me. If you find me not conforming to the Sunnah at any time, then immediately must bring it to my attention. But the Shaykh will not say this to everybody, he'll say it to some people. Because if he mentions this to everybody, then the whole focus will change. Shaykh, what is he doing wrong now? How is sajda? How is his ruku? They'll lose their focus. Instead of them thinking of themselves, they'll feel that the Islah is to correct the Shaykh. So the whole thing will change. So now, this I say, it's a delicate path. And the Shaykh will not say everybody and anybody, he'll say some people. The understanding, they've got that level, they're balanced, so they'll notify, they'll correct. So when Sayyid Sahib mentioned this to Mu Abdul Hay Sahib said, Abdul Hay itna sasta nahi. Agar maine dekha ki tum sunnat ke khilaaf karte ho, khud ab se toot karke chala jaunga. I'm not so cheap. If ever I see that you have drifted from the sunnah, I won't even notify you. I'll just move away. I'll just move on. Sayyid Sahib felt very happy with this answer. See now how they work. they work. They're working differently. So anyway, Sayyid is young and he just got married. Right. So now it's Fajr time and Sayyid Sahab came in, he made for the Takbir Ula, but not like the usual routine. See, usual routine he's there before the Iqamat. And now he just made it for the Takbir Ula. Alright, now Abdul Hisab is leading the namaz and he saw that this is what happened. The second day something similar happened. So now he just got married, so perhaps ghusl or whatever else was a delay. Now by the third day, when Abdul Hisab noticed this, that there's a little bit of a delay, right? It's not like what he used to do originally, third day now, and there's a delay. Now, you're talking of that zamana, now, you're talking of 250 years ago, when they didn't have any communal water. Someone's telling me now, that now the more wealthier people, how they have got their baths, this is their bedroom, and you just jump and there's a bathroom. Just one step into the bathroom. So it wasn't like that. That time now, you're going to the well to draw water, right? In the winter, then it's ice cold water. You have to make it warm. Then wash yourself, dry yourself, make yourself warm, then come out to the masjid to perform namaz. So it's a whole long process. So now, the third day when this happened, so Abdul Hisab, that is the murid, he turns to Sayyid Sahab. The whole jamaat is there, everybody just perform the namaz. So he says, ab to ya to sunnat ki itiba hogi ya shadi ki ishrat. It's going to be one of the two things, either the enjoyment of marriage or the emulation of the sunnah. So Sayyid Sahab was so pleased with this, you know, inshallah, kabhi ye galati aainda kabhi dekhenge nahi. You will never see this mistake. See, emulation, holding on to the sunnah. So firm, very firm on the sunnah. They don't shirk from that. So the Shaykh will say, will ask some of his murids, you must see, anything you see in me, just correct me. Right? And this is something not exclusive to the Sayyid Sahab. Can you see again, any of our mashayikh, they also the same. Same. If everything against the sunnah, then you must bring it to their attention. And if you didn't bring it to their attention, they get upset with you. But you saw me doing something against the sunnah, I forgot about it. But why didn't you remind me? You were there, you blind what? So they will actually shout you, we incorrect them. If they missed something and mistakenly they left out something and you didn't bring it to their attention, they will be really upset with you. See? So you see now, one group is that group who just does things of his own, and then this can be a recipe to insanity. It makes you insane. Because you see now, I had this inspiration, I had this experience, this spiritual experience, so I'm doing this because of the experience that I had. Base it on your experience, you may just go off. And there is evidence for this, recorded evidence for this, right? And similarly, if you're just going to go with anybody and everybody, then this is also a recipe for disaster. You can't do that as well. You get a third situation where people want very quick results, right? They want quick results. So they linked up with one sheikh. One person now, he says, I was with Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, and when performing namaz, it was like, you know, between me and Allah Ta'ala, it was just a step, you know. I was so close to Allah Ta'ala at that time. For some reason, he went to Mawlana Rai Puri, someone else, Mawlana Madani Rahmatullah Ali. So he's jumping. Why? Why he's jumping? He wants to see quick results. In that enthusiasm for quick results, he's jumping from one to the other, to the other. Eventually, everybody wrote him off. He went also, three-quarter off. He just got saved, a little bit he got saved. Otherwise, he went three-quarter off. So you have to be patient and have to be disciplining yourself. Everything will come, and it will come in time. Everything will come, and they will come in time. See, the whole mystery works, how it works. One is the batin, right? One is the zahir. How it works is, as you improve the batin, right? The batin, your relationship with Allah is improving all the time. You are listening to the Shaykh, and as you're listening, your inner self is improving. So you are doing the zikr, and like how he prescribed, like yesterday or the other day, we were talking of Subhanallah. What frame of mind you're reciting the Subhanallah. Reading Durood Sharif, which frame of mind you're reading Durood Sharif. So now you're adhering to that. So because now your mind, you are disciplining your mind. Zikr, and you are getting your mind right. Durood Sharif, you're getting your mind right. So when you're getting your mind right in this manner, then a divine intervention, assistance come in. Sometimes it is of the azmat of Allah Ta'ala that overwhelms you, that enshrouds you. The azmat of Allah Ta'ala enshrouds you. That's a gift, right? But this comes, the gift normally comes when you're conforming with His teaching for a period of time. See, Allah is going to see now that are you conforming only in the i'tikaf days or afterwards as well. So you're conforming, giving some zikr, some Quran Sharif, and you're doing it like how they want you to do it, and you're doing it over an extended period of time. So then Allah blesses you. And when that blessing comes out, sometime it is azmat. Someone will get that. So when he gets that azmat overwhelming him and shrouding him, then now this will cause him to respond accordingly. Now you'll see that person to be very humble, very, very humble. You'll see that person to be disinterested in the world, because at any given time, he's enshrouded, overwhelmed with the greatness, the majesty of Allah Ta'ala. So the whole world will seem like filth to him. Doesn't mean much. Didn't come, one of those things. It becomes immaterial. Just to make us understand, see, little children will have their toys, right? And they'll boast, hey, see, I got a truck, I got a jet, I got a firefighter. They'll talk about the toys. And you know why? My toy is not local, it came from Dubai. My father got it from there. And when I say mine is motorized, don't say, no, mine is remote control. But as an adult, you'll see this, won't you amuse yourself? Kya bachcho ka khel? So, Khuda ki qasam, these people, when that azmat of Allah Ta'ala overwhelms them, then they're wondering really, hey, but what are they fighting over? What is this fight? What is this dispute over? How come they're fighting? So, they're perplexed, you know. Or if people are just more concerned about fashion, good food, and good clothing, all these things here. So it makes them wonder, where is this person is gone? Where is he gone off? Why? This is the reaction of azmat. See, you take a tablet, right? The tablet has a certain reaction. So this azmat of Allah Ta'ala, when it overwhelms you and shrouds you, then you begin to behave in a certain way. And that behavior becomes like natural. Why is this person behaving like this? What's wrong with him? See, now he will behave different, and you will not be able to relate to him, and he can't relate to you. See, you can't relate to him. You'll think he's gone off, and he'll think you got off. See, like how I say, the child and that adult who's been through the whole thing is now here, right? ये बच्चों का क्या होगा, दिस इज मैन. एंड स्ट्रेंजली आई बीन टू सम होम यू नो आईटी पीपल, सो व्हेन दे डोंट हैव रियल डीन, दे गॉट ऑल दिस बिग बिग टॉयज, सम गॉट अ रेलवे लाइन, रेल ट्रेन, गॉट दिस प्लेन. भाई किस जंगल में फंसे हुए हैं. He got it really all in his lounge for all that decor, all this jungle mein phase hai. See, so this is how it works. So the sheikh gives you some prescriptions, right? And the prescription, how strongly you hold on to it, right? How long, for that prolonged period of time you're holding on to it, then this divine intervention, this thing comes in. When this thing comes in, then your whole demeanor changes. Whole outlook of life, then this changes. Where you were, and now where you are. That's why you see now, Ibrahim bin Azam rahmatullah alayhi, right? He's the king of Balkh. I was looking at his story, his lifestyle. So, when he was the king, at any given time, he had about 1,000 attendants around him. Attendance. You know, for this 1 year, he's got someone. For this 1 year, so many people around him. And now when this divine gift came in, he left everything. Everything is gone. So now when he went, he left that whole kingdom. Now he's sitting on the banks of a river and he's mending one of his shawls. He got a shawl. So that he had a patch, so he's just sewing it. So as he's sewing it, now those people are looking for him. There's nobody to do the administration here. Administration is lost. So they came as an envoy to come and speak to him. So he says to them, see, my mind is now occupied. When it's occupied in some serious thought, then I will not be able to do justice here. He said, what's the thought? We are here to execute every order of yours. What can be such? Can there be anything that can overwhelm you when we are around? We are there to do it. So, the thought that is occupying my mind is the Quran Sharif says, Fariqun fil Jannah wa Fariqun fil Sa'ir. Allah has already ruled out that one is dispatched to Jannat and the other is dispatched to Jahannam. I don't know where I belong to. If you can guarantee me that I'm in Jannat, you know, say that ye to hamare bas ki baat nahi, it's not within us to tell you you're going here or you're going there. We are in the same predicament, you know, I can't help you. I'm so mentally occupied that I can't be there. I'm already occupied. Someone is very deep in thought, then he can't do that work. So he was fair to them, saying, I can't do this work here. So those people again try to encourage him. But you know, when you were the king, you had at any given time you had 1,000 attendants looking at you. Now you don't have a person to even stitch your patches. You have to do it yourself. So now they're going a little bit, pressing it a little bit too much, stretching it too much. So he said, all right. He had that needle where he was stitching his patches, so he dropped it into the water. And then he says to the fishes that were in the sea or in that river, by the command of Allah Ta'ala, return the needle. And At one stroke, thousands of fishes came up with golden needles. Say, I don't want this. I want my needle, man. I don't want this. I want my own needle. So I think another fish came and just brought up the needle. So they get so absorbed. See, the azmat of Allah Ta'ala overtakes them. It overtakes them, then the whole demeanor changes, the whole behavior, outlook, the whole sight changes. So that's why we will think that they are off and they think that we are off. in the process now, he needs to have a compulsory bath. Nabi Adam Rahmatullahi requires to need a compulsory bath. And he's coming from that area of Balkh in Afghanistan, right? So the winters are very severe, like how you get in the northwest frontier and all that. Those Jamaat that have been on that side, winter is very, very severe. So it's ice. It's all ice, and he needs to have water. He needs to have a faraz ghusl. So in that, he's having a faraz ghusl for that ice. I won't mention the person's name, but one of the satis that came with us many years ago now, not recently, maybe about over 14, 15 years of age, 15 years ago. So he was accompanying us. And then he returned. And one day, shining of the blue, you know, well, whilst I was traveling with you people on the plane, I need to have a faraz ghusl. So what do you do? I said, I was excited to know what he did. Fajr time, and he needed to have a faraz ghusl. So I went to the toilet, I did my faraz ghusl. How you did it? No, I did more. Don't worry about how I did, but I'm see, but there's a will, there's a way. You can do it. I know when I did my first Hajj, I was a bit young, about 25 at that time. So, wukuf on Arafah, it is sunnah to make ghusl, isn't it? Wukuf. I'm thinking, hey, that time, Arafah had no tents and all that. It's all open, one old open field. So now, I'm thinking, how I'm going to practice on the sunnah? Because my first Hajj, you know, in the first Hajj, everybody was doing everything, you know, by the book, see. So, I remember that time they had that mineral water, you know, 1.5 liters. 1.5 liter mineral water. So I filled two of those. I went behind one bus. You know, all the buses, how Istima time, buses all parked off one side. So I took out my upper garment. Nice ghusl I had with just 3 liters of water. So where there's a will, you can do it. So I wasn't so excited because I went through it myself. Now you ask me to do it, it'll be a little bit difficult, age. But at that time, alhamdulillah, the 3 liters, I did a nice ghusl for the wukuf at Arafat. Right. So now we're talking of Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, right? Now, see that majesty, that azmat of Allah Ta'ala. I must do it. Come what may, I can't leave that thing. I can't leave my faraz namaz. I can't leave my tahajjud namaz. His tahajjud is missing. I miss tahajjud because there's about 2 hours left and tahajjud will go. So I need to get the ghusl done. Come what may, cold water, warm water, whatever, but I need to do it. You see, the one that caught the taste for it, then it's difficult for him to leave it. The one didn't get the taste, now mind now, you know, aaj to mazoor hai. Sorry, all of those things, Allah will make maaf. But the one that got taste for it, then can he leave it? He can't leave it. He's got a taste. He enjoyed the taste. So when he enjoyed the taste, he can't leave it. You know, these youngsters now, they got the taste for phones, right? Can you separate them from the phones? Can you? When they're addicted to it, can you separate them? I tell you, they'll get into a depression. They're so fond of it, you can't separate them from it. So this is when they acquire the taste. But you didn't acquire the taste to do it and not to do it, it's one of those things. So these people, they acquire the taste for tahajjud and all these things. They know what they're getting. Asking to leave it is like impossible. As Mawla Gangui Rahmatullah is one murid. Right. So he's traveling with Mawla Ihtisham Sahib. And long story, some other day we'll explain the whole story. But this part of the story, where they have to travel, so he says to that young Mawlana, he's about 70, the young Mawlana was about 20 something. So he says, see, the sunnah is that when you're traveling together, then you need to appoint someone as Amir. So you will be the Amir. This Buzurg told this Mawla Ihtisham Sahib, you'll be the Amir. Now they're traveling to Calcutta from Delhi, Saharanpur, going to Calcutta, I think it's about 36-40 hour journey. Right? En route, he's got a bout of diarrhea. Sometimes can be severe. You're going just to the toilet. Before you can reach the toilet, and you already messed up. So he's got a very, now he's aged, old, weak, and he's got a bout of diarrhea. But he doesn't want to leave out his tahajjud. He doesn't want to leave out his zikr, his tahajjud, his nafil namaz. He doesn't want to leave it out. So now, this Mulana is young, and Mulana tells him, you know what? I am your Amir that you have appointed. Your Amir is commanding you that you're not going to read tahajjud namaz. You're going to sleep. Obviously, he's advising him because of his condition. Now, being the Amir, he didn't say anything. He kept quiet. Said, all right, what can you do? Now it's about just 1.5 hour left for tahajjud namaz time to expire. So this boy is in dreamland. He's fast asleep. While he's fast asleep, he feels someone touching his toes. You know, tabligh style, someone play with your toes, get your proposal namaz. So someone is playing with his toes. So he gets up and he sees this buzurg. He's crying away. He can't control himself. He says, see, for the sake of Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah, just allow me to perform my tahajjud namaz. It's over 35 years that I've taken bayat at his hands. From that day till now, I've never missed one tahajjud. Now he understands what he gets out of it. The strength that he gets, the enjoyment that he gets, the fulfillment that he gets, he knows it. So for him to leave it is difficult. But the one that doesn't acquire the taste, for him, he does it or he doesn't do it, one of those things. So, like I explained, this whole tasawwuf requires a lot of discipline. So much of discipline. The Shaykh says something, just conform, just agree, move on. Provided it is not against the Sharia, just move on. Even though it seems to be something against your reasoning, just move on. Even though it's something against your reasoning, just move on. See, raste mein bara zabardast rukawat hai aitraz. To object, find faults, why, when, who said this, why must I do it? Must I do it? What is the reason that I must do it? So, why am I told to do it? Why can't he do it? Or why this person had the privilege? Why didn't I get it? See, now this aitiraz. That's a killer. Big disaster. Major disaster. Disagree. So this mental discipline. This discipline is very, very important. Extremely important. In the absence of that discipline, we think we're doing right now, doing namaz, everything is coming right. So you may get some things right, but that getting the something right, you didn't get the actual thing right. The actual thing right is, إِذَا سَلُوْحَدْ سَلُوْحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. This is getting it right. See that your behavior and your heart have to be on the same page. So for this, you have to be on the same page with the Shaykh. Then your heart comes right. Then your behavior comes right. Everything has to come on one line. So just listen. He tells him, just do it. With a smile, without any frown, just do it. And then you see the good coming up. One thing is working out, the second thing. Because now, see, you've connected yourself as though, you're connected to that line. When you're connected to the line, then you're going to receive. Everything is coming on that data, you're going to receive. Whatever is coming, the lines are very clear, you're going to get. So we're talking of Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayh. So we branched off. And it's just about 2 hours left for tahajjud, and he is bathing with that cold, ice cold water. So he bathed. Ready tahajjud namaz. Why is he performing tahajjud namaz? One person comes to see him at that time and he sees a python sitting on his back. Right. Sat there and then it passed on the warmth. Snakes are very hot, right? So it passed on the warmth, and as it passed on the warmth, the body temperature came right, and that thing moved on. See, the fishes, machli, aapki khidmat karne ke liye tayyar hote hain. Saamp aur zehreele janwar tumhari khidmat ki khidmat mein maujood hai. Everything comes to you. Tu usi ka ho ja. Uska ho ja, sari khalkat tumhari ho jayegi. But you have to come. You have to come onto the page. Are you taking one line and then you want things to happen? How is it going to happen? Kis tarah se hoga? In this whole process, while she's going through this whole thing, Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam comes to him. You know, for certain things, you make amaliyat. Middle of the night, you go make some amal. Hazrat also initially was very interested in amaliyat. Some of the amaliyat were such, 1 o'clock in the morning, go into the river, kneel in, and go and do this amal. Hazrat was very, initially was very interested in it. Very, very interested. So it was just about 2 days for him to get that whole amal complete. So he got up at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, and to complete this amal. Just then, his father's eyes opened. Bete kahan ja rahe? Nahi, is amal ko pura karne ke liye, nahi jayenge. So he left it, straight away he left it. See that discipline. But then what Allah Pak blessed him. Now this is what I saw with my eyes, right? We were studying in Dioban. And if I remember, the town was Middelburg. So one person was brought from Middelburg. He was not very badly affected. So they came first to Dioban. May have some acquaintances there. Some of the students met up and they were proceeding to Jalalabad. Was that for some dua, whatever it was. I saw this jinnat problem. Now, en route to Jalalabad, all the jinnat, everything escaped. When that thing heard, Hazrat ke paas ja rahe, everything ran away. Everything gone. See that compliance, discipline, and then what happens? Discipline, and then what happens? Shah Abdul Quddus Gangohi rahmatullahi, he was of that level. Hadamah Gangohi rahmatullahi says that when I have some complication in tasawuf, then I refer to his kitabs, I find a lot of solace and I find direction. Right? Like Hazrat Hadi Sahib, when I have some problem, then I refer to my room's kitabs and I find a lot of solace in that. I used to find a lot of solace in Abdul Quddus Sahib's kitab. So, Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib is now about, I think, 3.5 centuries. What, how, you remember dates? Mohi Ismail was always there. It's all the dates and all that. Tariq. So, it's about 3.5 centuries away, right? So, Abdul Quddus Sahib is engaged in his tahajjud, and just as he's engaged in his tahajjud, he made salam, and he sees someone extremely big, strong, qawi haykal, that's the word they use, qawi haykal, mawjood hai. Bhai, tum kon ho? Hum jinnat hai. Straight, they say, we jinnat. So what's the mission? Muhammad, Sheikh Muhammad Ghaus Gwalior ka. Gwalior kahan tha? Maharashtra mein. Sheikh Muhammad Ghaus Gwalior ke. He has sent us to fetch you. Inshallah, we'll take you there. UP and Congo is one end of the world. That is about 1,000 kilometers away, right? It's another end of the world, Maharashtra, right? That's near Bombay and all that. So he says, Muhammad Ghaus Gwalior, he's asked us to fetch you because he's longing to meet you, wants to see you. And inshallah, rest assured, Noor Taklif will take you with a lot of ease. In about 5 minutes you'll be there, and the next 5 minutes you'll be back. Acha. Sadhu Quddus Sahib says, alright, tum aisa karo, tum unhi ko le aao mere paas. Tumhare sheikh ko mere paas le aao. He did not straight away they complied. No asking you who, how, why. Straight away they went. Now they want to bundle up their own sheikh. When they went to bundle up the sheikh, she said, "Bhai, all the time you're taking instructions from me, now you're taking instructions against me." What's wrong? So they explained the sheikh, "You see, for anybody else, we will take instructions from you. But if it is Shahdul Quddusab, then we're not going to listen to anybody against him." They also recognize, they understand. Allah gave them some level of understanding. So they bundled up the sheikh, they brought him to Shahdul Quddus Sahib. Yeh kya musibat hai? Ziyarat to tum karne chahte ho, aur mujhe liya jata hai? What is tamasha? You have the yearning to see me, and you bundling me up. What's wrong with you? It's a galati ho gaya, I made a mistake. Anyway, he made tawbah, and he took bayat at the hands of Shahdul Quddus Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. اسی کو میں کہہ رہا ہوں بھائی اسی کا ہو جاؤ پوری خلقت تمہاری ہو جائے گی become his انسان تیرے مسخر ہو جاتے ہیں جنات مسخر ہو جاتے ہیں ارے فرشتے بھی تیرے خدمت کے لیے تیار ہوتے ہیں ایون ملائکہ are ready to serve you but then you become his bring about that level of discipline so you get this We're talking of Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi. Strangely, my mind just flipped from that side. That incident that I just know of him, is relating. Maybe there's a pious soul somewhere. He's barakat and we are just relating. So, he met Abud. He's engaged in his zikr. And Khizr al-Islam has come to meet him. Normally, people do a lot of amaliyat, etc. to meet Abud Khizr al-Islam. Here is the other way around. Khizr al-Islam has come to meet him. See that? Like I said, tum isi ka ho jao, and things will work out. One person is in Masjid al-Nabawi, and he's got his head buried into his thighs. Right? So, Khizr al-Islam comes up to him. He says, Dekho, Muhaddis Abdul Razak ka dars wahan par ho raha hai. Tum yahan par baithe ho. Muhaddis Abdul Razak, he's conducting a lesson of hadith, right? And you're sitting here. And Muhaddis Abdul Razak, I assume, is before Imam Bukhari. He's at his maqam. Very high. So his dars is carrying on here. And you seated all alone on this side here. So he got his head buried into his thighs and he says, وہاں تو عبد الرزاق سے سن رہے ہیں یہاں پر خود رزاق سے سن رہا ہوں پھر عبد الرزاق کے پاس جانے کی کیا ضرورت ہے They have listened to عبد الرزاق Here they listening, I am listening to رزاق directly. What's the need to go to عبد الرزاق? Now, Khizr al-Islam is asking, Acha, if it seems that you are so high, then tell me who I am. Tell me who I am. So, he raised his head for 1 second, put it down again. Said, agar firasat is sahiha, agar firasat sahi ho, to tum Khizr ho. If my sight, insight is right, then you are Khizr. So, Khizr al-Islam says, you know, مجھے تعجب ہوا right? I am surprised that there are such pious souls in this world who I am also not aware of. They have reached and they escalated so much that I am also not aware of them. Anyway, we're talking about Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayh. Once we were with Hazraji rahmatullah alayh, I think 79 or 80. So we're going to Mina, and all of us thought we'll cordon Hazraji off and take him in a cordon to do his rami. Now the crowd was such that the whole cordon broke and everybody's held a skelter. Now we worry now, Hazraji ka kya hoga? So at that time the rami was in a different style. You go on one route, come back on the other side. So all the satis, they did the rami and they came on the other side to find Hazraji comfortable, relaxed. Bhai, kya hua? Amma Ismail Khatrada was a little bit informal. He could speak, we can't speak. He was all light, he's a senior person, so he can talk freely. Hazrat, kya ho gaya tha? So he was sab, when everything went helter-skelter, sab muntashir ho gaya, to ek sahab ne mujhe apne kandhe mein utha diya. One person caught me onto his shoulders, aur humne rami is jagah se kiya, we did the rami, where we didn't have to push and hurt anybody and nobody could push us. And then he came and left me here. Ke tumhare saathi yahan aa jayenge. He already told you that your saathis will come here. I said, wo kaun the? we got no guts to ask. But boy, Ismail, but he had the taluk with Hazri, right? So he could ask. He said, Firas dagar sahi ho, wo khizar the. It was khizar, right? Anyway, this Ibrahim bin Adham is deep in his zikr, meditation and zikr and all that. In the meanwhile, this Khizr comes up. So he came and made Musafa, Salam, make Khizr, and he's carried on with zikr. Bhai, log to barsa bars zikr karte hai, amaliyat karte hai. Mujhse milne ke liye, for years they make zikrs and amals and all that to meet up with me. Right. And here I've come of my own, and you're so casual about it, you're carrying on your own way. You're not even telling me anything, not even asking, not showing any interest. Acha, to isa karo, ke mujhe jannat dilwa do. Ke wo to nahi ho nahi sakta. Acha, mujhe nabi bana do. تو وہ تو ہو نہیں سکتا سو تو معلوم ہو گیا کہ جو امر مقدر ہے اس میں کوئی تغیر نہیں ہو سکتا کہیو کہ what is decreed it will happen whatever is decreed for me Allah will give what is decreed for you will get so you go your way and let me carry on see I don't say now we must act like that yours will be an act what If you do that, yours will be an act. And it's pretending Allah Pak doesn't like. Pretending and acting Allah Pak doesn't like. So what we will do is a pure act. And what they were doing was pure, correct they were doing. Allah Pak give us a tawfiq, understanding. We're talking about freelancing. This topic has to be still spoken about. There's a lot of examples that come to mind. But it all takes time. You have to speak about one story and give all things that are related to it. So now your mind settles. You talk about other things and things that are related to it. So your mind, this information is absorbed properly and correctly. It takes a lot of time.